I don't. But there's another. Bruce writes Green Grass and the High Tides by the Outlaws. And Mike said in Little Green Apples that Roger Miller is making a double negative. If that's not loving me, then yeah, there is kind of a double negative
that's
there. But
not yeah.
Yeah, we'll forgive him for that. Well, thank you. That was fun to do that. And Ellis, thank you for being here. Do you have any other green? I was trying to think of if I have anything here.
Nothing that I don't think I can get in time before your station ID.
Green Grow the Rushes. We mentioned that. Green Onions. Green Grow the Lilacs. Is... Wasn't there, like... Oh, a green, rocky road is one.
Who did green, rocky road?
That was done by lots of people, and we'll play a version of it coming up. That's a fun song. Broadcasting live, thank you, Alice, from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger and you, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Life Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM, Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, KRDP, Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ, FM Grove City, WCUC, FM Clarion, WNJR, Washington, WKYW, LP, Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams, radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM, McKeesport, and SLBradio.org/radio.
Ain't no use sit and cry. Ain't no use sit and cry. Ain't no use sit and cry. You will see me by and by. I'm going down to Baltimore, boys. I'm going down to Baltimore. I'm going down to Baltimore. Been that way six times before. It's green, green, rocky road. Promenade in green. Green, green, rocky road. Tell me who do you love? Oh, tell me who. Miss my friends and they miss me.
There is one version of Green, Green Rocky Road, that one done by Debbie McClatchy here at the Saturday Light Brigade. Oh, I love it. We have two concurrent text messages that just came in. And they both are more or less on the same topic. Or topic. That's a topic you talk about. Olivia wrote, from lunchrooms of old, great green globs of greasy, grimy gopher guts. And Stu, at the very same time, wrote, great green globs of greasy, grimy gopher guts. Is that still a thing? Do you guys know if that's... Do people talk about... Probably not. No. I had a chance to check it for contemporary popularity, although it could be some schools still know about that. In a moment, we are going to talk about what three teens have been doing to try to help people who are incarcerated or who have been incarcerated have their situation be destigmatized through work and awareness and understanding. And I have not had a chance to talk to them in depth, but it's a topic I know well, and I'm very curious to learn how they're approaching it. And you'll get a chance to learn, too, coming up in a moment.
Communitopia joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. Communitopia's 6th Annual Youth Climate Action Summit takes place on March 21st at Museum Lab, located on Pittsburgh's historic North Side. This youth-led summit features speakers, breakout sessions, games, and creates a space for environmentally conscious community building. More information on the 6th Annual Youth Climate Action Summit is available at communitopiapgh.org. That's communitopiapgh.org.
Subscribe to our monthly Youth Media Center newsletter to learn about the dozens of free workshops, meetups, and other programs SLB offers to teens every month. Each newsletter includes registration information, as well as an easy-to-print calendar of teen opportunities that make it easy to spread the word to the teens in your life. To subscribe, visit slbradio.org/subscribe.
Our Youth Express segment begins now. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, we have some flash fiction writers in elementary school that are going to share some of their writing with us. Right now, we have three students. I'm going to ask each of you to please introduce yourself. Maybe you're all in 12th grade. Indicate where you go to school. And if there's anybody you want to acknowledge now who will hear what you're saying, or maybe later when this is part of a podcast, feel free to do that acknowledgement now. And we'll just go from right to left.
All right. Hi, my name is Chris. I'm a senior, 17 years old. I'm from Franklin Regional. We're also missing another member. His name's Alex, but he couldn't make it today. He's also a senior in Franklin Regional.
Hi, my name's Anika Jadia. I'm a senior at Franklin Regional High School. And yeah, I would like to give a shout out to Alex. He wasn't able to make it with us here today, but I know he would have loved to come on and talk about our project and what we're trying to accomplish.
And hi, my name is Monroe Law. I'm 18 and I go to Winchester Thurston. And I don't have any other announcements. They got Alex and we are missing him today.
Now, your program is called Project Second Chance. And I'd love to know how it came together and just a little bit about it. And I'll let you folks talk about its origin, why you became passionate about this topic, and what it is that you're doing.
Yeah, so around last year, I think it's been a year since, we, me and Anika, had a club called Collective Voices, and we came across this like awesome opportunity through the Institute for Citizens and Scholars. So what they were offering is to fund over like $5,000 for any project or any idea that was youth-centered and youth-focused. So we were really taking some time to think about what we're passionate about, what we do. And I know I'm a poet. I've appeared here before for the Youth Poet Ambassador Program. But we were trying to figure out how we can destigmatize incarceration through a new and novel way that approaches students and get them engaged in a topic that a lot of people don't know a lot about or aren't familiar with. So we came up with Project Second Chance, which is an initiative focused on destigmatizing incarceration through storytelling. And we do a lot of, and student advocacy. So we do a lot of work to be able to bring the stories of formerly incarcerated individuals to students and the community members to create a better community for them to come back to.
Anything that two of you would like to add?
Yeah, so our club, Collective Voices, was working to uplift underrepresented voices, and so that was kind of how we ended up moving into Project Second Chance, because we knew that incarcerated individuals are an underrepresented group and they do face a lot of barriers in today's society. So that was just kind of how we led into working on this project.
Monroe explained that extremely well. I don't think I have anything to add.
So how have you been capturing these stories? Or first, how long have you been at this with the project?
We've been at it for a year now, so it's really been picking up over the last couple of months. We've had a lot of difficulties, first of all, like you said, mentioning getting into these communities and being able to find formerly incarcerated individuals. But what we did was go through our family, the people that we know, and then through that, it kind of spread and grown through just word of mouth and being able to get in contact. And we've also done a lot of work to be able to get in contact with other organizations in Pittsburgh that are already doing the work and to be able to go in through their network since we're young.
And is your hope to actually speak with people who are incarcerated or have been, but are you also hoping to speak with family members as well, or do you really want to get firsthand stories?
I think that right now we have gotten firsthand stories, but I think that the perspective of family members is something that's very important too. And so that's definitely something that we see in the near time future. But our interviews right now have been specifically focused on people that have been formerly incarcerated.
I'm glad you're getting those. And one reason I asked about family members is sometimes, not that their stories aren't valuable, but you kind of have to settle on those stories because the firsthand stories can be hard to get at. Tell me what that was like. Are they mostly people who have been released, or have you actually been able to talk with people through prison visits?
So since we're young, it's really hard to get clearances to actually go inside of the jail. So it's been from formerly incarcerated individuals, and we to kind of mitigate a lot of the stigma, a lot of the like hardness about being able to share your story. We do offer to make it anonymous so that we only use like pronouns or like first person perspectives in our narratives. So we do around an hour interview over like online, And then afterwards, we take time to take that interview and take it into a story and a narrative of their life. But we try to focus a lot, not just about in prison, but like who they are as a person, what are they doing now, what did they do in their childhood, to show that it's so much more than that time that you face inside of the prison.
I love what you're doing, and it's the same approach that I would probably take if I were doing it. So you spend about an hour interviewing the person. I gather it's audio and not video, am I right?
Yeah, we do have a video recording, but we do, since a lot of people choose to remain anonymous, we only use the audio. We transcribe it into a story on paper as well.
The stories must be very emotional, I would think, and it just compelling. Can you share some thoughts of individual stories and kind of what has been revealed and how that process has been?
Yeah, so we did one just last week, and it was titled Predatory Please, and the story focused around how the person that we interviewed, he lives in Wilkinsburg, and a lot of his story, he had great morals, he had a great background, his family always kept him in church. However, a lot of the community's perspective towards police officers was mitigated by that was the only role that they saw white people play in their community. And there just wasn't a lot of education in his childhood, so when he first got caught up in his first crime, which was through association, he didn't know what to do, and he just signed a plea deal because he wanted to go back home. They said he was a good kid. However, he saw that kind of spiral that you don't have the money to be able to afford the lawyers or to be able to have the resources to be able to do anything but take these plea deals. And he has been on probation since 2012. He just got off this November. So what we really found was that this lack of awareness, a lot of what he had was accusations or something that he doesn't even claim of actually doing. But without the system being able to kind of force and coerce people into accepting these plea deals, that you're placed into a situation that is much longer and much more extensive than what actually the crime was. So it was really impactful to me just to see how the community's perspectives towards police officers or through the system really impacts how they interact or deal with these situations, and it has effects for the rest of their lives.
Each of you, please jump in as you're all talking. If you want to comment on that story or on another one you've been involved with, this is the best way to help folks listening understand. By the way, the three students here are from Project Second Chance. It's their initiative focused on destigmatizing incarceration in the Pittsburgh area. And it's really a very good thing that you're doing. Do those you interview, do you share a copy of the recording with them afterwards?
If you want to look at the full story, or if you're interested in reading the entire thing, we post every single, or we're going to in the process. We already posted some, but there's already, Monroe wrote a very incredible narrative, and it's posted on our Substack that you can find through either looking us up or looking at our Instagram bio, just at Project Second Chance.
So Project Second Chance is how you can find this group. Now, I hate to ask this because it's not just a matter of how many, but I want to get a perspective. Have you collected a lot of stories so far?
Not a lot. I would say a lot of our work previously or throughout a lot of this year is building the networks. We have another initiative called the Community Spotlight, which I can let somebody else talk about and share. But we had to do a lot of groundwork to make sure that we were taking the appropriate measures, educating ourselves, educating the people that we share these stories with. So we have over 10 right now, but
that's
not a lot. But yeah, it's a lot of work to be able to do. Just beyond the narrative, we do other initiatives beyond just like taking interviews. So.
Over 10, though, it is very good when you consider that you're finding a subset of people that is relatively small, and then again, a subset of people willing to do this. And I think 10's great. Now tell me about the other project you were mentioning to try to What was it called? Was it
Community Spotlight?
Community Spotlight.
Yeah, so a part of our mission is also to help with reentry resources. And so when we were going through these interviews, something that really stood out to me, at least, was the benefit of having a support system after. And that's a lot of that is given through reentry resources. And so our Community Spotlight initiative is just to highlight these reentry resources in the greater Pittsburgh area and kind of put them together and share their message and what they're trying to achieve and share that out so that these individuals are able to utilize it, because we know that, these resources are really, really important.
Now, there are social workers, very overworked social workers, and other services available, but I would imagine that you're providing a breath of fresh air. And I'm curious about your thoughts about that as you prepare resources and connect people.
Yeah, I think people really appreciate a student's perspective and being able to know that young people are caring outside of their own experiences, and knowing that they have a generation that's trying to work towards making a better community for them. A lot of these people are really genuine, the people that do this work. Some of them were formerly incarcerated, and they're really closely connected to the people that they work with. So we try to look at it as of a listening, and we're trying to echo the words that they're already doing and the work. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We want to make sure that the already great organizations in Pittsburgh have an opportunity to reach a wider audience.
Yeah, and Monroe kind of touched upon our having like a youth perspective. That kind of leads us into one of our other initiatives that we've been working on. It's our student educational initiative. And so what we're trying to do is specifically reduce the stigma around incarceration and incarcerated individuals with the youth. And we know that these students are still developing their own beliefs and perspectives. So if we are able to properly educate them about incarceration, we know that that can have an impact. So recently, we all had an educational session at our respective schools, which we shared a presentation about incarceration, specific facts about incarceration, facts about Allegheny County Jail, and then some of the factors that influence incarceration, like environmental factors. And then we were able to share the narratives that we had written up from the interviews. And so we were able to see how that shifted these students' perspectives on incarceration. We had them fill out a pre-survey before the educational session and then a post-survey. And the responses were just very showing to us how even a short 30-minute educational session and sharing these perspectives from someone that's incarcerated can have such a big impact on changing your perspective. And so that's another initiative that we've been working to pursue.
Have you thought about sharing your work with adults in addition to peers?
Yeah, we definitely want this to be something that is the entire community. But with schools, it's very accessible. So we're in high school, so it's easy to reach out to our principals and have like a space that all these students can come together. So that's something that we focused on right now. But I think a community event is something that we're looking forward to in the future.
Yeah, you may be able to open up some minds about why people end up in what I understand, what can be just a horrible cycle, including recidivism, and people end up finding it hard to come back out. Now, it's you three and Alex with Project Second Chance. You're all seniors. What's going to happen after you graduate? Are there other students that continue to work on the program, or will you three continue?
Yeah, well, that's definitely one of the reasons we wanted to come on to here, is be able to share and extend to more school districts. But we do at our respective schools have clubs that will continue it on, and me and Anika are working over this summer to hopefully turn this into a nonprofit or something that we continue into college, because I think that we found a model that works. We're finding something that actually sharing these stories does shift perspectives, and we want to be able to continue it to wherever we go off into university or wherever locations or cities that we're in.
I hope you do that. I think it's really important, and it won't surprise you, but we certainly will pledge our help on the audio recording side of things, or if any youth at our Youth Media Center want to get involved. But I'm curious, and forgive me for asking this, but you're seniors and you've also shown great passion. So I'm curious, graduation isn't too far away. Chris, do you know what you might want to do after graduating?
You know, I'm not entirely too sure, but I've always been interested in like health sciences, and I still do want to be involved with this initiative as I continue into college. But we'd have to see how this summer goes, and obviously I hope the four of us we're still going to keep in touch after we graduate, and we'll see.
Yeah, and I know I'm not fond of asking the question. I didn't want to answer it when people asked me in March, you know, what the fall was going to be like when I was a senior. And I wasn't really sure either, but I know people listening are curious. Anika, what do you think?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm still waiting to hear back from a lot of schools. I think a lot of these regular decisions come out the next 2 weeks, so probably by, I don't know, early April, I'll have made my decision about where to go. I have a couple of schools right now, but yeah, I'm also like on the same route as Chris. I'm interested in healthcare, and I definitely see myself working on this project in college and hopefully expanding it to work on the side of healthcare a little bit more. I know we were able to talk to someone during one of our interviews. He talked about how healthcare within the prison system needs a lot of reform. And so that's something I definitely see myself pursuing, because I am interested in healthcare. And so in college, I think that would be another way to expand this project and its impact even farther.
I'll bet there are programs, and I think you know about them based on the research you've done, that are working to improve healthcare in that environment. Monroe, what about you?
Yeah, so I'm really excited for the next upcoming year. This is definitely completely aligned for what I want to do. I'm really passionate about prison reform and focusing more on rehabilitation instead of just putting people behind bars. So I plan on studying political science and economics. I'm not exactly sure where I'm going right now, but I've been able to get into Georgetown and Columbia, so, and a couple other schools. The college application journey was a lot, so I applied to like 15-something schools. But wow. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure where I'll be at next year, but I do know completely that this is something that I'm going to continue, whether it's through this club or being able to just do my studies. So,
well, it's exciting. I think you do all have the potential to keep building on what you've done, to sustain it, and to allow it to ripple out. You are very special, but there are other people like you in schools throughout all of southwestern Pennsylvania, but also throughout the whole country, and you have a lot to be able to offer. Is there, I guess based on the 10 interviews you've done, if you were to give a message on behalf of the people you've interviewed, is there an underlying message that seems to come through almost across all of them?
That's a great question. I think that a lot of these, if I had to give like a message, it's just that people are more than what they were in prison for, and that giving them a chance to be able to go into your community, to be able to go back into the workforce. I think that also, like you said, recidivism is a very huge problem. A lot of people do get trapped in the cycles of like their family members or get going back. But there is also a large portion of people who are formerly incarcerated that want to work, that want to be able to build and be accepted in our community. So give them a second chance, and I think that we can have a better community for it.
And that's like the entire goal of what we should call it, the Narratives Fit Into Our Empathy First campaign. And like the entire goal is just to stop putting incarceration and stop seeing it as just a label to put on someone. But you have to understand, and a lot of people don't, you have to see the circumstances and the humanity behind why this happens to so many people, and that's what our goal is.
Yeah, I think that Monroe and Chris did a really good job. I would say that, you know, we're all more alike than you think we are. And so even if someone has had this experience of being incarcerated, I saw throughout these interviews that there are so many values that we all have in similarity and that they've grown up with. And so just remember that we're all the same and we're all people. And so, yeah, we all deserve a second chance.
And one other question. What's been as long as I'm not violating any confidentiality, the age range of who you've interviewed? And have you talked to men and women?
Yeah, so we have had, it's more men than women, but the age range has typically been like 30s, mid-30s, 40s. So on the older side of the spectrum, I think that we just found that age group has wanted to share the most and is most confident and comfortable. And I think that has to do with a lot of the stigma around sharing your story. And a lot of the people that are younger have a lot of more community, or like friends and family members that are their age and just are more comfortable sharing. But
well, I admire each of you for the work that you're doing, Chris, Anika, and Monroe, and Project Second Chance. On Instagram, I believe it's Project_Seconds_Chance. You can find them there, or just Google Project Second Chance. If you're a teacher and think this would work well in your school, get in touch with them. If you're a teen,
yes,
same thing. And as I said to the three of you, we'd love to help you in any way we possibly can. And you're all graduating this year, is that correct?
Yeah.
So happy graduation in advance. I wanted to be sure I got that right. Again, it's Project_Second_Chance at Instagram. Anybody else want to say anything that I may have missed?
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on. And yeah, if anybody is interested in getting involved in our mission, or if there are any organizations that work with reentry, we would love to connect with you and amplify your voice. So please reach out to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, you're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
I believe in you. Do you believe in me? I'm as sure of you as the sun coming through and the wind making love to the trees.
Saturday Light Brigade, Bonnie Collick, and I Believe in You. Good morning to Steve and Mary. I'm so glad you are both tuned in. You're about to hear some flash fiction made possible by the Western Pennsylvania Council of Teachers of English. That's going to happen in just a moment. We were talking about songs with Green in them, and Steve mentioned Frank Zappa's Mr. Green Jeans as a song. Boy, was he a genius. Frank Zappa, Todd Rundgren, among others, just being incredible both on and back stage. Flash fiction coming up on this morning's SLB.
A-Plus Schools joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. The mission of A-Plus Schools is to eliminate chronic absence in Pittsburgh city schools so that every kid can show up ready to learn in every school, every day. A-Plus Schools 2025 Report to the Community provides a thorough and objective look at Pittsburgh's public and charter schools, offering families, community organizations, policymakers, and concerned citizens critical data about student achievement, student growth, school climate, teaching, and more. A copy of this report and more information about A-Plus Schools is available at ourschoolspittsburgh.org.
About to hear four stories on the radio, which is one of the greatest ways to hear stories. You can imagine what the characters look like, what the setting is as you hear each story. You can imagine what the reader and author might look like and what they were considering as they presented and wrote each story. You're not going to have to imagine what their voices sound like because you're first going to meet each of them. And I'd like to ask you now, we're just going to go around from right to left and have you each please introduce yourself. Let us know how old you are, your grade, and where you go to school.
My name is Gray Forbes. I'm 11. I'm in fifth grade, and I go to Environmental Charter School.
And Gray, do you have any shout-outs or anybody that you would like to say hello to?
My mom and my dad and my brother and my sister.
What are their names?
Jasper's my brother, he's 9, and Starla is my sister, she's 7.
My name is Aubrey, and I am 9 years old. I am in 3rd grade, and I go to Knock Primary School.
Any hellos to say, Aubrey?
My mom and my dad and my brother, Everett.
Nice to have you here. And next, we have got...
My name's Sutton. I'm 9. I'm in 3rd grade, and I go to the Ellis School.
Any hellos that you would like to say?
My mom, my dad, and my 2 brothers.
What are their names?
Liam and Bennett.
My name is Ellie, and
I am 8 years old. I'm in third grade, and I go to Ella's.
Any hellos to anybody?
Probably my mom and my dad.
Wonderful. Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have one brother and one sister, but my sister's in here.
What are their names?
My brother's name is Gabe, and my sister's name is Eliana.
Well, it is nice to have all of you here. Each of you is going to read a story, but before you do, who can tell me what flash fiction is? So people hear flash fiction.
Flash fiction is a short story that has to have 500 words or less, and it's a creative piece that you can write anything about.
Is flash fiction hard to write? Anybody have any feelings about that? Go ahead, Ellie.
I think it's kind of hard to write because you have to have 500 words or more, which is, it's kind of hard to write because you make sentences by yourself without like any help. Like, of course, you can base it off from a story, but like, I like to do things like without basing it off from a story, so it's pretty hard for me, at least.
Aubrey, what do you think?
I think it's not, like, it's hard thinking of what you're going to write about, but once you start writing, it gets easier.
Now, Gray started by telling us what flash fiction is, and then you heard Ellie and Aubrey. We haven't heard from Sutton yet. What do you think?
I think it's kind of hard to, like, choose a topic, but once you get, like, the topic, you can kind of figure out your rest of the story.
That's a good observation. It must be hard to choose a topic. Did anybody choose a topic and then end up changing it? I just saw four hands go up and four nodding heads. I'm not surprised. I think that happens a lot. Well, I can't wait to hear the stories, and we decided that we're going to go from Gray to Aubrey to Sutton to Ellie. Gray, are you ready to share your story?
Yeah.
Okay, and whenever you're ready, you can give the name of it, and we'll all listen together, and we'll have a chance to give our feedback on the story after it's complete. So here is Gray with her story.
My story is called Recess Reader. Why is literacy so boring? Mr. Clay scowled and shook his brown locks. Layla, sit down and don't disrespect me or this class again. I know recess is your favorite subject, but I can take that away. Layla rolled her eyes, but sat quietly down on the carpet. She made sure to sit in the back because Mr. Clay never called on those people. Okay, class, let's turn to Charlotte's Web. Mr. Clay started. Where's Papa going with that axe? Mr. Clay stopped reading and looked around at the class. Do you notice anything strange about that sentence? Sasha's hand raised and her billions of bracelets jingled. Yes, Sasha? Sasha paused, then said, The sentence kind of sounds like a horror book. Will it be scary? Mr. Clay smiled, but what Sasha had said caught Layla's attention. Layla turned to the first page and started to read. Great question, Sasha. What do you think, class? Mr. Clay and the class mumbled on, but Layla was stuck in Charlotte's Web. It was about a pig, a spider, and a girl who live on a farm. They were all friends, and the girl could understand the animals. It was surprisingly interesting, and Layla couldn't stop reading. She didn't hear when Mr. Clay started talking about the lesson, nor did she notice when the class started to pack up for recess. One of her friends called, but Layla didn't even look up. Mr. Clay didn't notice Layla because he left too. One of the top things that Layla would never do is skip recess, especially for literacy. It was about 12:41 when Layla finally looked up from the book. She was surprised to see the classroom empty and walked over to the digital clock in the back corner. Layla hated reading clocks because she was so bad at it. She could only read digital ones. 12:30 was the recess time, so she had been reading for 11 minutes into recess. Layla didn't know what to do.
Should she go outside and join her friends for recess, or stay in and keep reading? Layla decided to stay in, since it was drizzling out, and she was already inside. She walked back to her sitting space and contemplated on how she got left behind. When the class filed in through the doors from recess, Layla had just finished the last sentence. One of her friends came up to her and said, "Where were you? I can't believe you skipped recess. You're coming tomorrow, right?" Layla smiled and said, "Sorry, I'll be reading tomorrow." With that, Layla went to the bookshelf and picked out a new book.
That was amazing and so well delivered, too. Any comments on the story you just heard? What did the three of you think? Go ahead.
I liked that, like, she wasn't into reading at all in the beginning, but she finally found that she, like, liked to read and stuff.
That's good. The character changed during the story, which is the mark of a good story. We're going right around the table here. That comment was from Aubrey. Let's go to you, Sutton, and then we'll go to Ellie.
I liked how she didn't, like, make up books, but she used actual books that people enjoy and are famous.
Yes, that helped make it very realistic, I think. Good observations.
I liked how mysterious it was when she just got left behind. I like mysterious parts, and, like, it's just funny she just got left behind.
I liked the digital clock. And the analog clock, and Layla getting fooled by the clocks. That was kind of neat. So we're ready to hear not Ellie's story next. We decided Aubrey would go next. Aubrey, do you feel ready?
Yeah.
Excellent. We're just going to turn things over to you, and you're all set.
Okay, my story is called A Strange Halloween. Oh my gosh, what happened? Why am I made of bones? I look in the mirror and I have a skeleton Halloween costume on. Wait, that's not a costume. It's me, and I'm a skeleton. I know my name is Logan, and I like pizza, baseball, and most importantly, Halloween. But a skeleton? This is ridiculous. I guess I don't have to worry about a Halloween costume this year. Hey, Mom, look at me. Scream! You are not going trick-or-treating like that. That's not fair, I said. I said I promised not to tell anyone what actually happened. Mom said she would let me go as long as I promised to not tell anyone. All my friends thought it was so cool. I went to bed thinking I would be normal in the morning. Uh-oh, I'm not a skeleton, but now I'm a candy bar. I guess I ate too much candy.
I really liked the way that ended, and it was a surprise ending to me. I didn't think it was ready to end, and I also didn't think skeletons could eat. Any of you have any comments? Go ahead.
I really liked how spooky yours was, and how, like, it was connected to a holiday, and it was just really creepy.
It was. That's Sutton commenting on the story Aubrey wrote. Ellie?
I like how they just, like, in the morning, it's just a skeleton, and then the next morning, it's just a candy bar. Like, yeah. It's all related to Halloween, and I love Halloween, so... I'm glad you related it to my favorite holiday.
Great.
I think it was really cool that the character was a skeleton, and then they became a candy bar. And also, it was cool that, it was perfect timing because it was Halloween, and the skeleton could be like the Halloween costume, so you wouldn't need a Halloween costume. That was really creative.
Excellent. Now we have our third story to share with you. And this one is from Sutton. And are you ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay, here is Sutton's story.
My story is called Gator Problem.
Once there was an alligator named Swampy. He lived in the sewers. Each day, Swampy would drink out of the pipes, but that was a problem because the humans drank from that pipe. The humans started to get sicker and sicker. Swampy had to stop drinking that water. Swampy did like the humans, but if he did not drink the water, he would get sick. One day, Swampy heard a noise, so he turned the corner and saw a beautiful alligator. She was crying in the corner, so Swampy went over. "Hi, I'm Swampy," Swampy said. "I'm Lily Pad. You can call me Lily," Lily said. "Why are you crying?" Swampy asked. "My friends are being mean," Lily said. "Do you want to be friends?" Swampy asked. "Sure," Lily said. "There's a special drinking pipe we can drink out of." It turns out this pipe led to the river and didn't hurt the humans. So finally, the humans were safe and Swampy and Lily were happy.
I really know why these stories are called flash fiction. They start, they have a great story, a great plot, and then they end really quickly. And I bet they're hard to make that short. Is it hard to stay under the word count that you're asked to stay under?
I have a strategy for making the flash fiction.
And what is that?
So I just have an idea, then I write it all out, and I don't care if it goes over 500 words. Then, once I'm done, I start cutting parts off that I don't really need until I get 500 or less. And, yeah.
That was great. That sounds like a great way to go about it. What about the three of you? Do you do it similarly, or do you have your own way of doing it? I see Ellie's hand up.
I kind of have my own way of doing it. I just start with an idea and then base a bunch of stories off of it and choose my favorite one and then turn it into like a whole thing.
Oh, so you look at different options and then pick the one you like the most. That's really cool. Any further things you'd like to add, either Aubrey or Sutton?
I do pretty much the same thing as Gray. I usually do, like, I usually write it over 500 words, and then I just take off parts that I don't like the so much, and I keep my favorite parts.
Hard to edit your own work sometimes. Sudden, what were you going to say?
I kind of do the same thing as Ellie. I just make a story, and then I don't care if it's over 500. And then I base stories off of that I know are under, and I choose my favorite one of those stories.
Excellent. Good to hear advice for writing these kinds of stories. Now, we're going to hear one more story from Ellie, but I didn't get a chance to ask you for feedback on the story Sutton just read called Gator Problems. What do you have to say?
I like the turn of events, like that it was either like the humans were going to die or the Swampy was going to die, but then there was like a solution to what happened.
Yeah, that was good. I liked the drinking pipe. I could really visualize that. Great.
Yeah, I could also visualize it was very descriptive, and like what Aubrey said, it was cool that it was either gonna Swampy cared about the humans and he didn't want them to like get hurt, but he also didn't want to get hurt, so he had to like choose what to do.
Ellie?
I like how it's alligators. I feel like that's very creative, because if it wasn't alligators and it was humans, it'd kind of be a little more uncreative than it is now, and I like just the alligators.
Oh, very good comments. Thank you. And our last story for this morning is from Ellie. Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear it.
My story is called The Test. One day, there was a girl, but she got everything wrong. What
where, and when, she always said. Even for the easiest things, she said. I don't know. So this went on until one day they went on a field trip. Their strict STEM teacher went too. She made everyone do a test. But she said, if you don't get it right, you'll be in big trouble. As always, she got everything wrong. The STEM teacher took Hannah, which is the name of the girl, to the principal's office. But the principal said it was fine and that she was just learning, so that is how school works. Sometimes you get things wrong, and if you have a girl named Hannah in your class, ask her if she is in this story.
Hannah. I wonder if anybody knows somebody like Hannah, or ever feels like Hannah. Any comments on the story that you just heard from Ellie?
I think that it was really cool that this girl, like, she got tests all wrong, and then she had a huge test that if she didn't get right, she would get in trouble, which was, like, a challenge for her. But luckily, the principal was very nice and said it was okay.
That was great. And let's hear what Aubrey has to say.
I liked that she, like, got everything wrong, but, like, even though she did get everything wrong, it was still okay because the principal let her, like, learn because she just needed more experience to learn.
Ellie? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm asking Ellie. It's my notes are wrong. Sutton?
I like the lesson that we can learn from this. It's like, it's okay if you get everything wrong, but you should try hard, and then, like, you shouldn't get in that big of trouble if you get a lot of stuff wrong.
That's why I almost called you by the wrong name. I wanted to show what it's like to get things wrong. No. You all have such great insight into writing. Well, first of all, did anybody else have anything they want to say about any of the stories, your own or anybody else's? Okay, I have a question for each of you. I don't think it's too hard of a question. You're all, how old are you, Gray?
11.
Okay, so Gray's 11. Aubrey and Sutton, you're each 9, I think, and Ellie, you're 8. What do you wish the world understood about kids that they don't understand? What do you wish that adults understood that they don't understand? Does that question make sense? Great.
I think I wish adults understood that kids shouldn't do like, once they get older, they should have more responsibilities, but they have all these responsibilities in throughout their lives, so they should have some fun when they're young.
I feel like adults should understand more that, like, kids can be as smart as them, too. Like, I feel like adults sometimes think that, like, they're so smart and, like, kids are not as smart as them, but I think some kids can be smarter than adults.
Thank you. Now, we've heard from Gray and Aubrey. Here comes Sutton.
I feel like some adults can kind of understand that, but some, like, I feel like they should, like, understand, like, kids can write stories, too, even if it's on, like, a limit. And some adults do understand that, and they, like, support that. But I feel like if we didn't have a limit, we could make a really good story.
Ellie?
I feel like some adults just do not understand how kids want to be outside and they don't want to be stuck inside doing math homework and reading homework and a bunch of extra catch-up work.
You guys are all good observers, which must make you good writers, I think. Thank you for being here today. And thanks to your families for supporting you, too. Thanks. We're broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRTP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org. Tube City Online at WMCK.FM.